Nice to be with you all. Thanks for coming. Is this mic weird? A little weird? We're working on it, I can tell. That little twang. It's not a southern accent. How's that? Is that better? All right, well, let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your commands to us. And thank you for the grace that you give us to obey them. And I pray our time together now would be pleasing to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to talk about respect matters. Both respect matters, the verb, and respect matters, the noun. Have you thought of it? You could take it both ways. So that's what my assignment is, to talk to you all. I'm going to start with a verse from Psalm 43. It says, "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." And the reason I want to start with that is we have to start with God. We have to start with God. We can't start with the command. We can't start with submission and respect. We have to start with God. He's the health of my countenance. And I'm sure you've noticed this. You can tell how someone's doing, right? By her countenance. Your children, you can tell how they're doing, right? By their countenance. And we may need to look in the mirror once in a while to check. But what's in the heart really comes out on the face. So God is the health of our countenance. God is the health of our spiritual life, of our marriage, of everything, of our mothering, as well as our wifing, if that's a word. I'm not sure it is. So our demeanor, the expression of our faith, shows how we're doing. Years ago, we knew a neighbor lady, an older widow, who was an artist, not a believer. She worshipped art and beauty. And I mean, that was her life, that was her God. And she was not, I don't know if she would have said she was an atheist, but she was not a believer. She came to church one week with us. And we were meeting in the high school gym back in those days. Or maybe not the gym, but their big auditorium. And after church, she just wept. And she said, "I've never seen so many beautiful people." Well, you know it's not because at our church we have all the beauty pageant winners. It isn't. It was something else that she saw. And she just saw all these countenances, men and women, who were at peace with God and with one another. I mean, it just overwhelmed her. And I'll never forget that. And Doug used the example last night of the atheist at our table who said something like he'd never seen so many beautiful women, and he lives in Hollywood or Burbank or someplace. But it isn't because, oh, all the beautiful ladies come to our church or sit at our table. But there's something about that inner beauty that is shocking, especially when it's in highly concentrated forms. So coming into a church where so many people are just put right with God, and your whole demeanor changes, your expression, your countenance changes. Is that me? Am I making that noise? Is it this? Am I doing it all wrong? I'm not good with microphones. I'm going to put it down one, see if it's better. The winds and the waves have stopped. All right. So I want to start there because our marriages, if we're going to talk about marriage or if we were going to talk about any other subject, mothering, we have to start with God. How are we doing with him? Because apart from salvation, apart from the grace of God, there's no way our relationships are going to be in order. So our marriage is a means to an end, and you know what the end is to glorify God. It's to glorify God. So whatever he's called you to do, you're to use that. You're to turn a profit on it to glorify him. That's what we are to do as Christians. So our marriage isn't an end in itself. It doesn't exist to make us happy, right? It's just something God has given us to do, an avenue he's given us to display his goodness, to obey his commands, to do our duties in. And so we ought to just grab hold of it with both hands and embrace our calling and seek to really glorify and please God in it, whatever he's given you to do. So our first priority as Christian women is to take heed to our own souls. How are we doing spiritually? Right? Because if I'm a poor Christian, if I'm a disobedient Christian, do you think I'm going to be a really godly wife? Well, of course not. But if I'm a faithful Christian woman, if I'm seeking to please God and walk with him and obey his commands, well, then of course it's going to affect my marriage and my mothering and my friendships and everything else. So it's keeping that straight in your mind. So we want our lives to be an overflow of joy in Christ. So as we're walking through hard times and through easier times, that it's an overflow of joy. Our obedience is an overflow of joy and gratitude to our good God who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light, and to live that way. So as Doug's last talk about keeping things picked up and put right, we had to apply that quite a bit when we were first married. We were bumping into each other all the time. And it seemed at the time, even so, like it was wonderful. It was wonderful, but as time went by, we looked back and said, boy, that was a little bumpy, you know, those first years. But it became such a habit to us to always put it right. We couldn't bear to be out of fellowship with one another. It was miserable. And it just became such a pattern, we didn't have to think about it. I can't remember the last time we used the hand signal. Because we don't need it. You know, we just stay in fellowship because we don't allow it to go. Now, let he who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We may need it again. I mean, you know, sin happens. It does. We don't plan on it. But I'm just saying, as you first put this into practice, if you're new at this, you know, you'll get used to it, and it will become such a habit, so second nature, that it won't seem so odd and awkward and weird. All right. Song of Songs says that there are little foxes that spoil the vineyard. I think the reference is 2:15 from Song of Songs. Beautiful vineyard, but what is wrecking those vineyards? It's these little foxes sneaking in. It's not always like the big bulldozer that drove by and just detoured off into your vineyard. It's these little things that get in and start wreaking havoc. And in our spiritual lives, it's like, well, what is it? What are the little foxes that get in to your own spiritual life? Well, could be a little feminism and a little egalitarianism has gotten in. Maybe a lot has gotten in. You know, we don't realize how the world is trying all the time, 24/7, to press us into its mold. And we are affected by it more than we realize. And so I would just encourage you to do a little check. Like, do you cringe at those verses or at that part of the wedding ceremony where she promises to obey him? And you're thinking, him? She's going to obey him? She's promising to do that? Or some churches just take that word out because it grates on our modern ears, because we don't want to acknowledge that he's the head and she's the body. So I just encourage you women to do a check. Like, Lord, have I allowed, do I think of myself as in submission to my husband that you've given me? As do I look at him as my head? Or do I think, well, yeah, sure, on paper we'll put that down, but in real life, no. And so do a check about that. Are you finding more satisfaction in looking a certain way or talking a certain way to make people think you're with it, you're the modern woman and not like an old-fashioned believer in the patriarchy of all things. And I just say, lean into it. When you have opportunities, when it comes up, lean into it. Say, absolutely. You know, God made the world. He created us. Marriage is His idea. I want to do it His way, not my way or the world's way. Do you think they know? So lean into it. Doug and I were eating in Moscow, a little restaurant in Moscow, and a woman we didn't know came up and said, "You're Doug Wilson. You're a hater." And we had an interesting conversation with her. But I thought about it later, and I thought, actually, yes, we are haters. We hate what God hates, don't we? We love what God loves. We hate what God hates. And so in this day and age, you know, the hater label is kind of intimidating. It's a little threatening. And lean into it. Say, oh, yeah, I do hate what God hates. And it may not be what you think I hate. I'm not hating you, but I do hate sin, and I do love God, and I love His Word. You know, so I'm gonna side with Him. Instead of this whole little song and dance, oh no, we really love everybody, and we're, it's like, well, yeah, we do. We are haters. God is a hater, right? He hates evil. He hates wickedness. He hates sin, and so do we, right? So don't let them label you with their own, but define it for them. And then tell them what you love. But you say, so what's that got to do with this? Well, let me get back over here. It has to do with the feminism, egalitarianism, and so forth. But we don't want to internally recoil at certain words or want to acknowledge that we actually believe in the biblical design for marriage. What would they say? You know, who cares what they would say? What would God say? So we need to be courageous women in this day and not hide behind, you know, just getting along with the way the world's doing or just not saying anything or keeping our head down. It's like, come on, women. We want to be courageous. We want to speak the truth. We want to agree with God and not make excuses for His Word. If it says it, we believe it. We are standing on it. Who's on the Lord's side? That's where we want to be. Some of the things, the little foxes, besides a little bit of feminism, a little bit of egalitarianism, could be coasting. Just coasting. You're busy. You're distracted. You don't want to, quote, work on your marriage or be asking God, how am I doing? You know, am I respecting my husband? Don't ask him. You know, ask God, how am I doing in this area, in the submissiveness? But a little bit of just laziness and coasting. And I think just in our spiritual lives, generally, we can start coasting. If we want to stay spiritually sharp, spiritually quickened, spiritually alive, you know, really faithful women and courageous women, we have to be in the Word. Got to be in the Word. Are any of you doing the Bible reading challenge in here? Some of you are doing this. It's just such a good, it's a daily reading program. But whatever it is you're doing, be in the Word. Be women of the Word. You can't expect to thrive spiritually and not be in the Word. You got to be in the Word and doing what it says. But secondly, we need to be women of prayer. And so I'm going to plug a little book that I've used for years. It's just called Handbook to Prayer. Very boring title. Praying Scripture back to God. And what it is, and I love it, is 3 months of prayers, daily prayers. And it's just a guide. It's just a guide for you, but it's all Scripture. It's not handcrafted prayers where you're praying somebody else's prayers that were written. It just goes through adoration, confession. It just has, you know, here's Isaiah, a time of confession, Jonah in this one, praying for renewal, personal spiritual renewal, and some scriptures. Then the petitions sort of rotate, One day you'll be praying for spiritual warfare and that you'll grow in character, personal disciplines. Another day you're praying for something else. Anyway, I'm just recommending it. It's just to help you. It's sometimes our prayer lives can be sort of erratic and disjointed and irregular. And this just keeps me praying God's word back to him. If you want to know where to get it, it's by a man named, his last name's Boa, like the snake, so you can remember that, Boa Constrictor. And you can find it. He has a website. But I recommend it because it's like, well, I don't mind saying it's like training wheels. I need them. It gets me praying scripturally every day. And then when you get through the 3 months, you just start over, you know, and just pray it again. And then you, each section has a place for you to pray your own personal things that tie in with this. You can make it take as long as you want. You can make it go quick. But I'm just urging you to do something that is regular praying and prayer that pleases God, prayer that is going through adoration and confessing your sins every day and not waiting for Sunday and so forth. All right. God never blesses or prospers disobedience. Doug was talking about prosper your souls, you know, being blessed of God. And he never blesses disobedience. Never. He doesn't prosper disobedience, but he does prosper obedience. And so if we're in the Word, if we're in prayer, if we're praying women, we know what he's calling us to do. And so we ask him for the strength to do it and to go forward and to do the next thing, to do our duties faithfully. So in marriage, of course, there in our spiritual lives, we're going to have the little foxes, and in our marriages, we're going to have the little foxes. Sometimes they're big, big foxes. But some of the things that I want to bring up before we talk about respect specifically, a little bit of resentment, that keeping a record of wrongs, a little bit of resentment. There have been times where I have been critical. Do you think ever in my life, just having a critical spirit? And maybe there's something I think I need to bring up with my husband, being critical about something. But I think, you know, first I'm just going to pray about it for a week. I'm just going to pray about it for a few days first, instead of like, I know I need to speak about this right now. So as I pray about it for a few days or whatever, and I ask God to be showing me if there's anything in me that is out of whack, it's amazing how Doug improves. It's like, what was it again that I felt I needed to bring up? You know, whatever that, because God has been actually revealing my own heart that it was just something that it's so like, oh, please, really. I think love covers that or whatever. Now, on the other hand, it might be that, yeah, I do need to bring this up. We need to talk about it. But I've spent some time praying about it, so it's not out of resentment or criticism, and it's tempered by prayer. It's been tempered by God's dealing with me, and so I can bring it up in a way that it's going to be productive. All right? And vice versa. I appreciate it when he's prayed over it, when he's not just zinging off to tell me something, but he's bringing it to me, and it's, I can tell he's prayed about it. And then to have that demeanor, ladies, when your husband's bringing something, where you're sending up that SOS prayer, Lord, help me receive this, just really sweetly, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Help me to listen and hear. And then repeat back. So let me get this right. What you're saying is X, Y, and Z. You can say, no, I didn't say that. It's like, oh, okay, well, say that again. You know, so, okay, I got this right. This is what you're bringing to me. So we're spiritually prepared. You say, yeah, but my husband just brings it without the preparation. It's like, all right, well, then you just be prepared all the time. Say, Lord, just prepare me. And then you can send up that quick SOS prayer and just say, help me to receive this kindly. Help me to receive this submissively, sweetly, and not react to it. And say, well, thanks for telling me. Let me pray about it. You know, thanks for telling me. Thank you. And instead of just reacting. So keeping a record of wrongs, obviously resentments, comparisons, competition, there are plenty of things that get in the way of our marriages. Discontent about the things he doesn't do or the things he does do. What is it? Discontent is always focusing on the things that you don't have or the things you do have that you wish you didn't have. And you want to learn to be satisfied in Christ and know that all that you have is from his hand and all that you don't have is also on purpose from him for your good. Doug has talked about keeping short accounts, amen, in marriage, but keep them also in just in your own life. Your thoughts went somewhere they oughtn't be. You confess it right now to God and change the subject. You're being envious, you're being resentful, or you're being critical, whatever. You just lusting after something you don't have, whatever it is, envying, whatever. Confess it right now. As soon as you're aware of it, keep short accounts your own self. You have your own relationship with God. Your husband is not a mediator. He's responsible for your marriage, yep. But you are responsible before God for your own walk with him, your own life. You don't confess all your sins to your husband to take to God. No, you have Christ as your mediator. You walk with him. You're responsible. You confess your own sins. God's promises to us. He's given us these wonderful promises. Do we believe them? Do we thank him? Do we thank him for all things? Do we believe his promises? He's going to forgive us. Do we believe that he'll never leave us or forsake us? Believe his word. So think about, you know, as you keep short accounts, do a little, I remember one time just doing a little inventory, like, so is there anything Doug has asked me to do that I haven't done? You know, he's a very godly man. So he treats me very well, far better than I deserve. But I thought, has he said something he wished I would do that I was resistant to? I thought, oh yeah, this is years ago. I thought he really wanted me to start a blog. He didn't command it or anything. But he's like, I really think you should do this. I'd be like, oh, I'd be so bad at it, and I wouldn't know what to do, how to do it. And so as the Lord brought that to mind, I told Doug, I said, I will start a blog. If you show me what to do, I'll do it. So I did have a blog for many years out of obedience. And turned out I just really enjoyed it. It was a blessing. But there have been other things like that. He wanted me to teach at Logos, and I said I'd be terrible, that I was never going to be a teacher. In fact, I avoided any mention of the word. I did not want to be a teacher. But out of obedience, I went and turned out. I loved it, and God blessed it. I did that for 15 years. Goodness. But just what kinds of things have your husbands suggested, and have you prayed about it? Or did you do what I did, which is like, oh, I'd be terrible at that. I don't want to do that. Just think about that, ladies. God's going to lead you through your husband. And so trust him and take his suggestions to heart and pray about them and give them serious consideration at the very least. Also, as I'm saying, you know, we want to revere God's word. We want to be in his word. Of course, any part of scripture that singles women out, I think we ought to be all ears, don't you? Like, oh, he's talking to me now. He's talking to all of us all the time in the word. But when he singles out women, we ought to be taking particular notice. I was talking to a young woman one time. It's very rebellious, in serious rebellion against God in every way. But she was trying to tell me that she was following Christ. And she wasn't. You know, and it was pretty flagrant stuff. I don't need to go into it. But anyway, we were talking about what God's word said. And I said, look, if God's word said that I should wear my hair in pigtails, I'd be wearing pigtails. And she said, well, I wouldn't. And I said, I know. That's what I'm saying. This is what I'm trying to tell you. He says not to be sleeping around. He says, you know, the things that, and, but that should be our demeanor. Now, I'm so glad he didn't say that in this, we have to wear pigtails. But he did say a lot of things to us that we ought to take seriously and not say, oh, yeah, but. It's like, well, what has God said to women particularly? So we'll look at a couple of these things. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. And the wife see that she reverence or respect her husband. This is from Ephesians. Colossians, we have the repeat passage. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. In Titus 2:5, teaching the younger women to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. It's very specific. We're called out with something to do. And so we ought to grab it, like I say, with both hands. It's like, all right, this is for me. This is a serious, this is clear. This is what I'm called to do. Before I was a Christian, I was converted in college. Before I was a Christian, I said I would never get married, never have children, ever, because it looked so miserable. And so I just assumed that. Kids? No. Kids and, I remember saying, kids and dogs. Like, no, I don't want. And then I was converted, and my goodness, it was a huge change in my life, do you think? And I started seeing Christian marriages and thinking, this is a totally different thing than I knew. And kids, amazing. All of a sudden, they're wonderful. You know, just the transformation happened. And I just think, of course, my view of marriage changed because the scripture explains what it's for and how to do this. And lo, I got married, and God blessed me with kids and a bunch of grandkids. And I taught, I also, all the things I said I would never do. He changed me. So submit yourselves to your own husbands. A couple things I want to point out about this. This command is not to the husband. This is to the women. It's to the wives. Wives, you see that you do this. Submit yourselves to whom? To your own husbands, the ones that you freely married. Right? I've never known a woman who was forced to marry someone, and if I had, I would have done everything I could to stop it. You know, don't be forced to marry this guy if you don't want to. You chose him, right? Now, you respect him and submit to him. Your own husband, not someone else's, not women to men, not all those things people turn the scriptures to say. No. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. This pleases God. So when you're submitting to your husband, you're submitting to Christ. And sometimes that helps make it easier. Have you ever had to do kind of a dirty job and you think, well, Jesus said, if you've done this unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And you think, okay, I can clean this bathroom for somebody, or I can do this because I'm doing it unto you, Lord. And, oh, it just changes. Doesn't it change the whole perspective on what you're doing? Now, in submission, hopefully it's not a dirty job, that you don't view it like that. But I'm saying, if it's true we can do these things unto hard things for someone else, and Jesus says you're doing it unto me, surely as we submit to our husbands as to the Lord, we're rendering it to him. Like, Lord, as I obey my husband in this thing, please receive it as obedience to you. Thank you. And it's a wonderful perspective to have, because that's what's actually happening. Who told you to submit to your husband? Well, God did. So render it unto him, and he will bless that. He will prosper your obedience. So are you obeying your husbands in all things? Are you doing this? Just checking what? Yes. Okay. Are you cutting corners? Are you reinterpreting commands? Are you putting things off? Are you sort of infringing on his good demeanor toward you, that he'll overlook this? Are you presuming? Like, he's a godly man. He's not going to get on my case if I don't do this, or if I spend this little extra money that he doesn't know about, or, You know, in the Proverbs 31 passage, the heart of her husband trusts her, so he knows she will bring him good. You know, are you trustworthy? Can he rely on you? Does he know you're faithful? He doesn't have to worry about it. He doesn't have to take the credit card away because he trusts you. I'm going to go into, since I have just 15 minutes, I'm going to go into some of the specifics. When we submit to our husbands as to the Lord, when we respect them, we promise to love, cherish, and obey till death do us part. As we do this, we have to see this as our glory. As our glory. We're obeying God. We're doing as he said. We are bringing our husbands good. He wants us to be submissive. And so this is my protection and this is my glory. I'm under my husband's headship and I'm under Christ. It's like two hedges of protection. You say, yeah, but my husband might make a mistake. It's like, well, he might. But God will oversee that. You say, but I was submissive. I didn't want to move to Kansas. I thought it was a bad idea, but I went and it turned out to be a bad idea. It's like, well, do you think God's going to leave you in the lurch because you obeyed your husband? No, he's going to bless you. And what a sweet blessing for your husband when he realizes he made a big mistake, but you're there and you say, oh, honey, you know, we all do that. I'm with you. I told you I'm with you for better or for worse. I'm on your team. We can do better next time, whatever. But instead of, I told you it was going to be rotten. I told you that was a bad idea. I told you, which just creates what? So much disharmony, so much conflict. And it's prideful. Instead of just being on his team, it's like, nope, I'm with you. I'm going to follow you. If that's where we're going, you're not leaving me behind. I'm on your team. All right. You know the 1 Peter 3 passage. If likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without a word be won by the conduct of their wives while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. All right, this is hard. This is hard. Some of your husbands may not obey the word, and it might be very difficult to be in subjection to a man who doesn't obey the word. But this is where you trust God and you do what he says because you're a Christian woman. And you may have a disobedient husband, but you're going to obey God. This is your promise here. This is where you run for protection and help. He says, be in subjection. Just in case they don't obey the word, you might win them by your conduct. So make your conduct count. Make your conduct count. And this, you're under his authority, period. Now, you know, we spend a lot of time qualifying everything today because, now don't take me wrong, you know, but I'm going to make one qualification. Of course, we obey God first. So if your husband wants you to sin, you respectfully decline. Sorry, honey, I'm a Christian. I can't cheat on our taxes. I'm not going to smoke dope with you. I'm not going to watch porn with you because I'm a Christian woman, and that would be disobeying God. And so, count me out. All right? And, you know, so obviously, I'm not suggesting you submit to your husbands when they're asking you to sin. I have a dear friend whose husband thinks it's sin to go to church. But she's going to church. Not in our community, somewhere else. But the point is, there are times, and I've told her, if you're going to have a battle, that's a perfect one to have. Go into church. Let it rip. But do it sweetly and respectfully, but go to church. And instead of having the battle be over the finances or over something else, it's over a very important thing, over church. And you know you're on God's side and he'll back you on that one. I'm going to back her on that one. All right. But what is it to respect a husband? So we know what submission is, I think. It's like obeying him. We know what, you don't need a fancy definition, I'm pretty sure, about obedience. You tell your kids all the time, obey. So show them, obey your husband. But what about respect? Respect is reverence, that's the other word. You honor him. You honor him. You make him look good. You make him look good. You don't run him down to your friends or to your kids or to yourself. You are not giving him back chat. You're speaking to him with courtesy, kindness, showing appreciation for, admiration for, kind of a yes sir attitude, looking up, okay? It's all connected. And if you don't feel like it, ask God to change your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if your heart is resentful and disrespectful, that's what's going to come out. So ask God to correct your heart first so that you can speak respectfully to your husband. I believe submission and respect are very potent, powerful. Just as the church has more authority, not less authority, when it is in obedience to Christ, so an obedient wife has more authority in obeying her husband. She exercises her authority as a Christian woman to counsel her husband. She has more authority over her sons and daughters, over the house, over her husband's body, when she is submissive and obedient and respectful, treating him with respect. Submission is an offensive weapon, as I read. It wins over a disobedient husband, and it's a defensive weapon. It keeps a wife from fear because she's obeying the Lord. It's a weapon. It's something God gave us. Submission is a weapon. Respecting your husband is a weapon. Not against your husband, but it keeps you, it's against fear, and it protects you from fear because you know you're obeying God. I'm walking through this hard time. I'm not happy with the decision he made, but I'm being obedient to him in this, trusting you're going to bless this and keep me from fear. In the meantime, it's that meek and quiet spirit. And a quiet spirit, if I can just go off for a minute, a quiet spirit is a spirit that is trusting and resting. It's not like a woman who doesn't speak. A quiet spirit is like a glassy lake, peaceful. And fear disrupts like nothing else. It just causes turbulence. So we don't want to be fearful women. We want to be trusting God and have confidence that we're doing the right thing. If you have hard things you have to do, I think those are great opportunities. If submission is always easy, respect is always easy, la-di-da-di-da. So where's the challenge? Where's the growth in your spiritual life? What if you feel like, whoo, this is a big, tall order. This is going to be hard for me to do. Well, great. Good. God loves to meet you in those challenges and give you the strength and courage and faith to go forward. When do you use your faith if it's just always so easy? And you say, well, this is going to require a lot of faith for me to obey my husband and respect my husband in this situation. Then say, well, glory to God. Get some faith. Get some courage. Say, I'm rolling up my sleeves, Lord. I'm going to obey you in this hard thing and just see what happens. I'm just going to walk through this. Whatever happens, but I'm trusting you that this is the right thing for me to do. Do you see that? And don't avoid the hard things because it's too hard. I mean, these are opportunities. And you want to, as I said earlier, you want to turn a profit on it. Like, here's a hard thing we're going to walk through. And so I want to come out richer, more prosperous as a result, more faith, more glory to God, more practice in doing what you're called to do. We do need practice. We are in school. We're learning. And each time we go on to the next level, it's a harder class, right? Just when you think you've got this one down, you move on to harder material. And that's what the Christian life is. So don't be afraid. Just go forward and see what God can do. I have seen women do things I'm not sure I could do. And I'm sure that if you've read missionary biographies, you've read about women who've done things that you don't know that you could possibly ever do. And yet, if God called you to that because of where you are now, if you're walking faithfully now, if he called you to one of those very hard things, you would do it like they did. Because you have practice trusting God, practice obeying, practice being faithful. Just ask God to bless your marriage. Say, I am going to start being respectful and obedient in ways that I've just never even thought of because I haven't been paying attention. I've been coasting along. And Lord, show me what you can do to just make my marriage richer and more productive and more glorifying to your name. God loves to build churches out of fat-souled people, doesn't he? And if you think about your own congregation, if all the marriages in that congregation were flourishing, were growing, think about the impact it will have on the church itself. Just immense fruit. I hear the men, so I must be out of time. There's much to say, so much to say on this topic. And I think I'm still learning, I'm still growing, I've written about these things. I've talked about these things. I haven't arrived. I need the word every day. I need prayer every day. I have fresh challenges, tests to my faith, just like you. And so I want to encounter each new thing with courage. And I don't always feel like a very courageous person. And yet God always meets us in our weakness, doesn't he? So trust him. Trust him and don't be afraid. Let's give thanks. Father, thank you for our time together. I pray for each of these women that you would find something in what I've said today to encourage their hearts and to bless and strengthen them in what you've called them to do. And we thank you in Jesus' name and amen.